In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Monday. Payne and Pendergast, big story from the weekend. Andre Johnson goes into the Hall of Fame. We'll have more from Andre Johnson's induction speech coming up in the next segment. The thanking of his family and the story about his sister, who he did not meet until after he was 21 years old, is amazing. If you didn't hear it in the speech or you want to relive it, we'll do that in the next segment. But we're joined right now by somebody who is live in Canton this weekend for all the festivities. He is still live coming to us from Texans practice out in Ohio in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, at Nick Casario's old high school. It's Texan sideline reporter and the founder of FootballTakeover.com, John Harris, joining us. Johnny, how is Ohio this morning?
Ohio is good. We have not yet gone over to practice. We'll start practicing at 9:15 Houston time. So we're going to go head over there in a little bit and see where Nick Casario used to knock it around and how he used to be. He got mad at me the other day that I did not remember his high school football number. I tried to say it was number 12, and it was number 18. Oh. And so I got this look of derision, like, you didn't know it was 18? Come on. I was like, all right. I was embarrassed. So, okay. Yeah, we'll go over there in a little bit and see what it's all about. But it's been Ohio has been, you know, minus the weather canceling the fourth quarter of that preseason game. It's been an amazing weekend, to say the least, most of it having to do with Andre's induction It felt like there was an event every single night. Even last night, after it was all done, it felt like there was something going on. So it's been really cool to be up here for sure.
So, John, in the Hall of Fame game, Davis Mills had a very productive couple of drives, scored both times. He looked very efficient. It's a really small sample size. Was there anything that he impressed you with that you feel is for real? Or is there any lingering concerns that you still have? Is that he's got some of the old habits? Where are you on Davis Mills?
Well, I think, and I've said this a few times, Seth, during training camp, I feel like Davis has really improved. Just in practice, it feels like things are happening quicker. He's making decisions quicker. He's making the right decision quicker. And I feel like he did that the other night. I mean, the touchdown throw to Teagan, I thought, was a great example of how he's progressed, because he wasn't even looking to the right side. I mean, he looks left, and he actually gives a little bit of pump. Nope, it's not there. Gets his body around, looks. Oh, hey, there's Teagan. Hits him. Touchdown. I thought, man, to get to your second or third read, you know, down in the red zone, that's pretty tough to do. And he did it rather quickly. So I feel like Davis has made some serious strides since this staff has gotten here. And I feel like this year in particular, he's made even more strides. And he got great protection. I thought the left side did a really nice job of handling some things. And I say that because they were on my side the first quarter, so I could see them really, really well. And that was Blake Fisher and Kenyon Green. So I thought they handled things on their side pretty well. And Davis had good time to throw. I don't remember a throw that he had where he had somebody, you know, leaning on him. But he just made better decisions quicker. His guys got open. Xavier Hutchinson got open for him. Guys were working to get open. And I think that helped all of the kind of work together. So I was pretty happy with Davis. But to me, it was kind of the continuation, which is what I wanted to see, of what he had been giving them during camp. He's shown a lot of progress since, you know, Bobby Sloak and company have gotten here. And I feel like this camp is really an indication of that.
John, I spend the first 2 weeks of training camp telling people don't read too much into one-on-ones, the receivers versus defensive backs, because, it's not a natural environment, et cetera, et cetera. And yet at the same time, I was getting excited by the way that John Metchie was moving, some of the really good things he did in the one-on-ones. And I went back and watched every one of his routes from the game the other night, and it feels like I'm watching a different guy. Is there something that he just lacks when it comes to translating some of those skills to the actual game situations?
I think, you get in a game situation, when you're running your route one-on-one, there are a lot of things you can do. Sometimes you might run a route and you get open, but I know Kiki Hutt used to be this way. Like, Kiki could get open against really anybody, but the problem was is Kiki would make some maneuver. And then in a team or a 7-on-7 setting, he would end up using that maneuver, and then he'd end up in the lap of DeAndre Hopkins. It's like you got to understand that route is meant to be a particular way because of that. So you have the spacing all across the field. So I do think there's some of that, I don't put a ton in the one-on-ones, especially the wide receiver DBs. I mean, it's good when you see wide receiver beat DB and vice versa. It's great in those one-on-one settings. But if it's not translating over a team, which it definitely hasn't, I mean, the other night, when you said Metchie, I'm like, man, what did Metchie do the other night? And I've even got the game book right here. And I think Metchie had two targets and one reception. And, against talent that the Bears were playing, or lack thereof, because they weren't playing their ones or maybe even their twos, that should have been an Xavier Hutchinson night. That should have been four or five receptions for 40 to 50 yards. And I would have felt like, okay, John's making – the right strides. But, in those situations when you're not getting the rock, you've got to do the other things. And that really was why John was drafted. John was drafted in large part because he did the little things. His football character was off the charts. And so when you're running the football and you're the inside receiver and you got to go dig out a safety, you go dig out the safety. You don't let the safety take a running full-on headshot on one of your running backs. Like, I think it was J.J. Taylor who took one. It was the biggest shot all night. You got to go dig out the safety. If you're not getting your targets, okay, what else can I do to impact the game? And that's just something that, I don't know. I mean, it was one play, but it was, you tie it all together with the lack of production. You think, okay, well, what's really going on here? And X is having the game he has when Skowronek is the next best receiver, and special teams-wise, he's going to be a rock star. It's going to – the numbers start getting really, really tight at wide receiver. John's got to really have a good week in practice up here, and he's got to translate that into success on Friday against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
John Harris, Texan sideline reporter, joining us live from Ohio. Texans take the practice field in a little over an hour up there. We'll keep you up to date on Sports Radio 610, certainly all week long while the Texans are out on the practice field. Plenty of eyes out there, including John Harris. Johnny, you mentioned it. The battle at wide receiver, the battle at running back, I would say even the battle at tight end. It feels like, Johnny, this version of the Texans, there are more jobs solidified right now, but with actual good players, than I can remember in a long, long time, to the point where I feel like there's maybe one spot open, if that, at each of those positions. I want to flip to running back for a second, just because Cam Akers is very intriguing. He's done some good things in the NFL, obviously, with the Rams. I thought he did some good things in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night. Where does he fall in this competition right now at running back, in your mind?
Well, this is where it gets, obviously injuries complicate the situation, because, what happens with Teagan? Apparently it's a calf. It was initially reported a knee, then it's a calf. So who really knows? And they don't have to divulge injuries in the non-regular season anyway. So what happens if now you got to go out and get a tight end because Tegan's going to be gone for a while? Well, now you got to keep a certain number of tight ends, and we already know that was going to be a tough nut anyways. And how many tight ends are you keeping? Because let's say that your thoughts were, well, we're keeping Dalton Schultz and Brevin Jordan and then Cade Stover. Okay, does that mean Tegan's out? And, oh, boy, Tegan's probably your best inline wide blocker. So, okay, well, wait a second. We got to keep four now at tight end because we got to keep Tegan. Okay, well, where does somebody get cut? Wide receiver or running back? Well, at running back with Cam Akers, I think a lot of people around the league, especially when a guy's coming off two Achilles injuries and two surgeries over the years, I think NFL teams are like, well, we don't want to be the guinea pig. We have other guys we're going to look at. But you know what? We'll let somebody else sign him, and then we'll keep an eye on him. Well, what did they see the other night? They saw a very healthy Cam Akers look very, very good. And they're sitting there going, well, dang it, if the Texans don't keep him, we're going to jump right on it. I think there are probably teams that fall into that category that weren't willing to let Cam Akers have the opportunity to show them in their camp. They're like, let somebody else take the risk. Let somebody else take the roster spot. But once Cam showed, oh, he still got the juice, okay, with the Texans let him go, we're going to jump all over that. And I think that's the other issue the Texans have got to keep in mind is that they're not going to be able to sneak Cam through on waivers to get him over to practice squad if they're thinking that way. And quite frankly, if you watched the game the other night, and obviously Joe has not practiced for a while, where would you rank Cam Akers? You know, if you had the running backs 1 through 5, if you had to rank Cam Akers, like, where would you put him? Because you can make an argument he's been the second or third best, and you definitely don't want to get rid of him at that point. So it's going to be really difficult because I think Cam Akers can give them a lot of what they're looking for in a complimentary back to Joe Mixon. So now I think it puts a little pressure on Damian Pierce. All right, Damian, you get some reps against Pittsburgh. Let's see who we got because Cam is coming fast. And if Cam continues to perform, man, could you see him being the number two back to Joe Mixon at some point? Yeah, possibly, as long, of course, as he stays healthy. But, you know, Dari Ogunbowale, I thought, played very well. And you got to have Dari on the roster because he plays special teams. And I thought J.J. Taylor nearly took one to the house. I mean, the way that he shot through a cannon through the line and the safety makes one tackle on him, like, J.J.'s played well. So I feel like the skill position battles are as hot and heated as they have ever been. And they've got options, which is really, really nice to have. Again, injuries probably will solve some of it, which you hate, but it's probably going to happen. But Cam Akers, to me, I love the guy ever since I saw him in a high school championship game in Clinton, Mississippi. I stumbled upon him. Somebody said something about this performance of this kid from Mississippi. So I went and found it on YouTube. I'm like, holy crap, this kid's ridiculous. He looks like that guy. And so if he continues to ascend, there's no telling what kind of reps and plays he might end up getting in a regular season game as we move through this season.
John, I expected the new kickoff rules to be sloppy the first couple of weeks of the preseason, but it was sloppy and like very hazardous looking. I did not like, yes, there were big hits and not a single one of them looked like the kind of hit you want to see in a football game. Everybody was at awkward body positions and angles and everything. Jake Hansen got hurt on a nice play that he made. Are they going to abandon this thing by week 3 of the preseason?
You know, it's interesting you say that. We were driving home one of the nights, I think it was maybe Friday or Saturday, we're coming back from the Hall of Fame, and we got in a discussion in the car about it. And Mark said, all right, Johnny, rate this hot take. And we have 1 through 5 sizzle fires, 1 being, there's not much there. 5 being, okay, that's the hottest hot take you've ever had. And he said, they're going to ban this before the regular season starts, and they're going to go back to the regular kickoff. And when I heard it, initially I was like, oh, it's 5 sizzle fires. Like, that's hot. And I'm like, you know what? The way they're changing their minds on this almost every week, like there's a new little wrinkle they're putting into this. Oh, the ball's got to be standing up. Oh, this, they got to do this. Oh, they can't block it this way. I think the biggest thing was seeing it in action and go, oh my, watch the Jake Hansen hit in particular. I mean, Jake gets off the block, but he can't brace himself because it's such a tight, condensed space. And wow, that's the hardest hit I've seen on a kickoff that didn't involve Neville Hewitt in the last, you know, 11 years of being on the sidelines. And Jake gets up and he's woozy. And I'm like, that is exactly what the NFL does not want. So I think they probably give it another couple of weeks and look at it. And now they'll have a full slate of games to look at too, not just one game. But the starting field position was the 25-yard line. I mean, just like it would be with a, you know, touchback. So I don't know. I think it's going to get to a really tough decision point for the NFL of whether they do this going into the regular season or whether they go back to the original. The thing is, I know the special teams coaches. I know Frank has. I know a few others around the league. There have been some coaches in the NFL that have just not done anything with this. They're just going to put it in the end zone and not even going to mess with it. So I don't want it to be a victory for those lazy bums, but I could see where the NFL says, no, let's just go back to the regular touchback rules, the regular kickoff rules, and if there are a bunch of touchbacks, forget it. We'll just do this in the name of player safety. And obviously they'll highlight Jake Hansen's play as one of those that they don't want to have on kickoffs.
If you want more returns, just move the kickoff back 5 or 10 yards. You know, make it harder to kick it out the back of the end zone. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what you're looking for, I don't know. John Harris joining us live from Cleveland. Texans getting ready to practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. So, Johnny, before we cut you loose, what are you looking for out at practice today? Might we see some of the guys back that have been on the sidelines? Give us a little preview here.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing, Shawnee, just what, you know, what and who is healthy after the Hall of Fame game. I know a couple of guys gone out. You know, Jake had gone out of that game. Obviously, Teagan went out of that game. You know, how, you know, what's the health of the team? Because you don't get any injury reports or injury thoughts after the preseason game. So, you know, where are we health-wise? Cam Irving has already been signed. So that's an offensive lineman that gets added to the battle, if you will, at tackle. And I'm curious what the thought. And I know they've already lost Charlie Heck for a little bit, and I don't know how much longer they're going to lose him. So they had to bring in that. So that's probably the first thing. And then the second thing to me is, okay, who uses the preseason game as kind of a jumping off point, kind of using Cam Akers. Like, Cam was really good. So does Cam continue to ascend and really put pressure on the guys in front of him at the running back position? Kalen Bullock, I thought, was really good. So does Kalen Bullock start to put pressure and maybe start to get some, you know, number one reps? You know, does he get some of those reps opposite Jimmy Ward instead of Eric Murray with Jalen Petrie at the nickel? You know, they start looking at that and seeing how that looks. So that to me is kind of, you know, one of the things I started looking at. And then obviously you're still in training camp, so guys can still, you know, impress you with performances. And then how does that carry over to the game against Pittsburgh? Hopefully we'll see some starters in that game against Pittsburgh, get a little bit of an idea of where they are. But other than that, just, you know, good week. Have a good week of practice to get ready for a preseason game number two, and then, you know, get back home out of Ohio, man. It's already been a long trip, and we still have got 4 more days to it.
Yeah, well, 4 more days and a game at the end of it in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yep. So it's a long week. Johnny, we appreciate the time you're putting in. You're going to jump on with us while you're there in Ohio, so we'll look forward to catching up with you same time tomorrow so we can get your thoughts, and people can keep an eye out for the Harris hits on HoustonTexans.com, right?
Absolutely. I appreciate that, Sean. Yeah, it's a grind to get them done, but if they have a good long practice, I can get close to 50, which is kind of my goal. If I can get to 50, that'll be a good day. And then over at my website, footballtakeaway.com, I just dropped the Texas Longhorn season preview, so you guys can check that out too if you want to go subscribe over there. So a lot of football stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out of this brain recently, and even last night with a day off.
And we appreciate that brain, Johnny, for sure. The runway is here. The season's going to be here soon, college and pro. We appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll talk to you tomorrow about this time.
All right, boys. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. The great John Harris joining us right there, joining us live from Ohio. I had forgotten about this, Seth, until over the weekend when I was reading an article about the battle between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. We get an up-close look at that on Friday.
Yeah.
We get to see the one of the most intriguing quarterback battles in camp this year in a preseason.
They roll out first, and we'll read way too much into that.
Yes.
Because I could see them totally wanting to get the rookie as many reps. Or not the rookie. The younger guy.
Yeah.
More reps than give the older guy a break. And yet, man, we're going to read a lot into this.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be... This will be as marquee as a preseason game can be because of all the intrigue around quarterbacks these days.
For sure, for sure. All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. That was John Harris. Keep an eye out for his work at J Harris Football. You can get him on Twitter as well. All right, Andre Johnson had a great Hall of Fame speech on Saturday. The part where he thanked his family members was particularly good, and the story, I had no idea about this story, I don't think a lot of people did, about how he met his sister, who he had not met in the first 21 years he was alive, is a remarkable one. We'll have the audio of that for you and more from the great Andre Johnson. Some Hall of Fame observations coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I want to thank my mom. All your hard work, sacrifice, dedication. It didn't go unnoticed. The way you raised me and my little brother, it was a Hall of Fame effort. Today, Ma, you go in the Hall of Fame.
There you go, man. That was kind of like a little Kevin Durant action there. Mom, you're the real MVP. Remember that when Kevin Durant won MVP and he saluted his mom? That was a cool moment on Saturday.
He one of the things he credited her for was encouraging him to go to Miami High, which was not in his school district, but was a very, very good powerhouse of a program that put out, like, I believe, multiple NFL players. Andre spent his entire speech kind of thanking the people that had helped him along the way. And he did it in such a way that it was cool, because he wasn't just reading from a list, and he shed a little insight into each person or group of people that he thanked. And it was, painted a picture of a young, very quiet Andre Johnson, who had a lot of people around him that were helping him out. But I just know how it is trying to get through to a quiet kid. Sometimes you worry about them because you just don't know what they're feeling or thinking. And it made me feel a lot of empathy for them, as far as like how good it must feel to see Andre do everything that he did. Because Andre had mentioned in an interview a couple weeks ago about how it's, you realize you go to the Hall of Fame and it's everybody else coming along with you, that they get to share in that because they were a part of it. And that part of it, it never felt like he was doing it out of obligation or anything. He felt like he really owed it to all those people and appreciated how much they helped him.
He did a great job. He did a phenomenal job. And this was one of the, this was definitely one of the more emotional, if not the most emotional moments. Andre Johnson giving a shout out to his sister, April, who he talked to for the first time, as you're going to hear in this anecdote that Andre tells, talked to her for the first time when he was 21 years old at the University of Miami, the day that his father, who was out of his life for most of his life, had passed away.
My sister, April, wow. I remember getting a phone call in college, and my coach, he was like, this young lady is calling, saying that she's your sister. I'm like, I don't have a sister, but I always heard I had one. At the age of 21, I get a phone call, and she informed me that our father had passed. And, sis, I can't lie. That was the phone call I had been waiting on for a long time. I have been waiting 21 years, and we've been locked in ever since. I love you, April.
All right, so I think there was a little bit of misunderstanding at first when Andre kind of presented it that way, like when his father passed away. This is the call I've been waiting for so many years. It was the call. It was because he knew he had a sister, and he was waiting to hear from her, not been sitting here waiting 21 years for the call for my dad to pass away. Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, without knowing all the details of exactly, you know, what his family situation was growing up, I think that part of it was almost... You know, it just feels like that was some kind of sense of completion that he needed, and that not a lot of people get when you got fractured family situations. It's nice. I'm like happy for him in arrears, like without having known that that was his situation or anything. Like it could have been there was a void in his life there that he was able to fill in, and not a lot of people get to do that. And that was before he ever reached the NFL. That was really cool.
It was cool, and this is, I mean, you don't get this from just hearing the speech or the cut from the speech, but she was there. They were focused in on her while he's telling that story, and she's very emotional hearing it. And that just, you know, if you're watching it and you're a fan of Andre Johnson, it triggers the, you know, you're sitting in your living room watching it, and you're like, hey, man, it's getting a little dusty in this room here. I don't know what's going on. Like, why are these faucets turning on in my skull? I mean, it was really cool. It was... And there were a few moments like that in the speech for Andre.
That was how it was. You know, usually these things don't... It didn't feel real to me. The entire finding out that he was in the Hall of Fame, everything else like that, there was a part of me that was almost like still nervous about it. Yeah. It's like, oh, like it's not for real until you actually see the ceremony. So for me personally, that was the way I was absorbing it. It was like, holy crap. When they lifted the drapery off of the bust, and I'm like, oh, and it's a good bust. It's not one of those weird ones.
Yeah.
Not one of those weird ones that doesn't look anything like the guy or anything. And boy, oh, yep, this is for real. He's actually in it. And then the images of the people he was thanking, for sure, when you see his high school coach kind of start to get overcome with emotion a little bit, as Andre Johnson is thanking his high school coach, it's hard not to feel something inside when you see that stuff.
Were you bummed that the Gary Kubiak presenter part of it was a prepackaged like 3-minute video and not Kubiak up there bebopping and scotting like he has in past presentations?
They've changed this from year to year or from era to era. I wasn't upset. I mean, I knew that's what it was going to be by the time Andre went.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see Kubiak at the podium. But if it was, you know, if they did that to keep a bunch of people that you've never heard of going on way too long, then, I'm okay with that sacrifice. I'll make that sacrifice.
Because
Kubiak would have gone his 3 minutes. He would have 3 minutes. On the dot,
yep.
You would have followed instructions.
Yeah.
Some of these other yahoos can't handle it.
The video's great, too. I mean, that's floating around out there on the internet, too, if you want to find it. The Gary Kubiak, the 3-minute presentation video for Andre was really good. It was really good. There are a few observations, Seth, from the ceremony over the weekend, because I watched it from beginning to end. Dwight Freeney had a good speech. He went first. It's always good to have somebody who does a good speech batting leadoff at this thing. I had no idea he played for five different teams after he left the Colts in 2012. When he went through that little stretch where he's like, and I'd like to thank the Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Chargers, two other teams. I had no idea. I'm like, he played for that many teams in a four-year span after he left? After he left Indianapolis, that was crazy.
There was a part, well, with Freeney, there was a part towards the end of his career where, you know, he was a kind of an undersized guy, and that if you lose that fastball and that freakish spin move, it's not quite the same. But I think there were a lot of teams that just thought, all right, we'll bring him in here and
for
see if this can be this can be some kind of spark.
Yes.
That's why, nobody even remembers that Jerry Rice played for the Seahawks.
No.
I mean, there are a lot of these guys. It's not that uncommon that with Hall of Famers, there is a spate of like three years at the very end of their career.
You wouldn't know, unless you already knew, you wouldn't know Andre played for the Colts or the Titans from listening to his speech.
Right,
he didn't
right,
even mention
yeah.
them in his speech. I wonder how many Texan fans were part of the chants for Lovie Smith at the Hall of Fame ceremony. Lovie Smith was the head coach for Devin Hester, and Devin Hester gave a shout-out to Lovie Smith, and the Lovie Smith chants broke out, Seth. And I couldn't blame Texan fans if they joined in on that, based on, as you've pointed out many times, Lovie's role in minimizing Jack Easterby, and as I think the role that a lot of people like to believe that Lovie had in going rogue, air quotes, and winning in week 18, air quotes.
It's still one of the weirder. I'm glad that C.J. Stroud worked out so that people don't go deep into their conspiracy holes on all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lovie Smith was trying to win a football game because that's what football coaches do.
Yep.
So yeah, he wasn't trying to screw the Texans or anything like that.
Yeah. As far as other things go, that happened at the Hall of Fame ceremony, Patrick Willis, who, as you pointed out, has gone through some things since he retired early, right? He retired young before people expected him to retire.
Yeah, he only had a 7-year career.
Yeah.
He was just that good over the course of 7 years.
He was the best. Yeah, at his position. Yeah, he was really, really good. But he's had a kind of an up and down post career. He gave one of the more bizarre Hall of Fame speeches. I don't think he mentioned a single teammate or coach other than Mike Singletary in his entire. And he acknowledged during the speech, like, 10 minutes in, he's like, I realize this is not your typical Hall of Fame speech. I'm not here to really talk about football. And I'm like, oh.
Okay, what was he talking about?
He was talking about his faith a little bit, just life in general. It was a very bizarre speech. I'm just going to put it that way.
It was very bizarre. Go watch it.
It was,
okay.
Yeah. Go back and watch
he's
it.
He's wired different, man.
Yeah.
He's a different dude.
Yes. Yeah.
One thing about the Hall of Famers, they're all wired different. It's like, often for the better, sometimes for the kind of this is an interesting, unique individual.
Yeah. Michael Jordan got a shout out from Julius Peppers. Michael Jordan was there.
He did.
Michael Jordan.
Well, so Michael Jordan got two references in the Hall of Fame then.
Yeah.
Because Dwight Freeney was, when he found out he got in the Hall of Fame, Michael Jordan was there too.
Yeah.
They were, because he's good friends with him. Okay.
He golfs with him. Yeah, Dwight Freeney calls him Big Bro. Julius Peppers gave him a shout-out because they both played basketball at North Carolina. Julius Peppers was a two-sports star. And so they've known each other. They've crossed paths, obviously. Julius Peppers gave a special shout-out to Michael Jordan, and they honed in on Michael Jordan. Did not look all that excited to get a shout-out from Julius Peppers.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, what's Jordan going to get excited about these days
not
anymore?
That's
why he gambles like he does.
It's
he
true.
Needs to get that. There's those little things. So it's one of the perils of being as famous as he is. He's seen and done everything.
Michael Jordan, this is what we need to acknowledge. Michael Jordan himself didn't seem to be all that thrilled to get inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. He used his speech as a 20-minute Michael Corleone squaring all the family business up in his speech.
If I know Michael Jordan, he knew that the cameras were on him, and yet he wasn't getting an appearance fee. So he wasn't gonna give the damn network the satisfaction of profiting off of his image.
I was gonna go easy on Chris Berman. You know, Chris Berman's getting up there a little bit, but he's kind of part of this thing. Like, there's a Pavlovian thing with Berman in the Hall of Fame. Like, he's been the main MC of the thing. He gave a "Houston, we have no problem" as the lead in. Yeah, as the lead into Andre, like, "Houston, we have no problem." Like, here's the thing, wannabe comedians, any variation of the "Houston, we have a problem" thing, it should not be used.
I was standing on a jetway waiting to board an airplane a couple weeks ago, leaving Houston, and there was a married couple. I think they're pretty sure they were married, either that or just out in the open lovers because they both had wedding rings on. But this woman, it was like she had the most lustrous hair I'd ever seen, and I was trying to figure out. I was like, I'd really like to compliment her on her hair, and it's in front of her husband. Like, I don't think it would be creepy or seem like a hit on or anything. And I was like, thinking, like, how should I phrase this? And then out of her mouth came, she was bitching about something, and she goes, "Houston, we have a problem." And it went from how can I compliment this woman to how can I poison her drink somehow? Yeah, it just ruined it for me. All of a sudden, she had the ugliest bird's nest of a hairdo I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, all of a sudden, her physical appearance changes when you use that played out line. Brutal. Absolutely.
Maybe a
brutal
diet of cliches. That's what she does. She eats a diet of cliches, and that's what gives her a nice luster on her hair.
I like that they might have been lovers out in the open at their wedding.
That's probably what they were. She lured him in with her hair.
And the guy's
ruined his family.
Maybe the guy's name is Houston, and she just got a text from
that's
somebody.
True. Yeah.
That found out about the affair. That could be.
They're whining at a bitching old poor old Houston there. Houston. He's a good man. Works hard. Took her on this vacation, and all she can do is complain about the heat.
Houston, we have a problem. All right. That was Andre. We'll get back to Andre Johnson in the 9 o'clock hour for sure. Okay, so locker room etiquette for rookies became a big deal over the weekend. Caleb Williams' insistence on something in the Bears locker room got a former Pro Bowler very, very upset. I'm siding with Caleb Williams on this, and I think this is something that many of you out there in a workplace can empathize with. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, we know a little something here in Houston about rookie quarterbacks coming in and trying to establish themselves as leaders of the football team. C.J. Stroud did a phenomenal job of that last year. He kind of just let it come to him, you know, got acclimated to his new teammates, showed some leadership traits on and off of the field, and by week one of the regular season, guys were following him, man. C.J. Stroud just has that gene. Caleb Williams is trying to do the same thing in Chicago right now. The reports out of Chicago have largely been really good on Caleb Williams so far. We'll see what happens when he gets on the field and plays. He didn't play against the Texans in the Hall of Fame game, obviously. Here's Kevin Byard, former safety for the Titans and the Eagles. He's now a Chicago Bear. He was on with 670 The Score up in the morning show on our sister station in Chicago, live from Bears camp, and he told this anecdote about Caleb Williams showing his leadership traits.
Well, I'll give you a great example. This was literally just yesterday, last night, we did our walkthrough, and we finished the walkthrough, and, you know, coach, he's talked, and, you know, players usually break down. Usually a veteran breaks it down. And Caleb wanted to jump into the middle to break it down. And usually, like, you know, as a rookie, he's like, oh, what does this guy got to say?
Right.
But no, he honestly, which is like, hey, first thing he says, he's like, hey, man, we're all grown men here, right? You know? As we're going through training camp, and we all use the hot tub, we all use the cold tub, we all use the bathroom and all the areas. He was like, hey, man, like, we're getting a little too sloppy. You know what I'm saying? We're leaving water bottles and towels and all type of things around, man. Like, these custodians have a lot of square footage they have to cover around this whole building. Let's try to help them out by cleaning up after ourselves. And that's just little things, man, because I just think that when you want to be a great player, you always focus on the little details, you know what I mean? Not even just the details of the play, but the details of everything around you, you know?
All right, so Seth, I wanted to get your take on this, obviously, before we play another former player's take here that we'll get to from FS1. And again, this is Kevin Byard telling us what and how Caleb Williams said it, so okay, we'll point that out here. What are your thoughts on this?
All right, okay, so my thoughts is it's a very receptive audience that he's speaking to there. The Bears players, they really want Caleb Williams to be good, and I'm sure that they took it the way Byard did. Is like, yeah, that's a good, upstanding young gentleman. This is the right kind of guy. I would say that, like, the way CJ approached it, remember when I did the panel for Texans Children's Hospital when we talked to Peyton Manning and Eli Manning?
Yes.
One of the things that Peyton had said about when he went to the Broncos was that he didn't think he was going to step right in and be a leader. Mind you, he was already a Hall of Fame quarterback, future Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't think Peyton Manning would have done that. I think that there's part of becoming a leader that's first, like, putting all of those deposits in the trust bank. It's doing all those things to get you to that level to where you know your teammates and where they've seen some good stuff from you on the football field, all of that. That stepping right in and being the nagging roommate, I don't know if that's the right move, man. I don't know if that's an indication of like natural leadership skills. That sounds like somebody that might be a little overbearing at first, and yet I don't think the Bears teammates probably see it that way.
Maybe not.
So because it's early.
Yep.
Okay. But I don't know if that survives adversity is what I'm saying.
Yes.
I don't know if that's that. If you're 0-4 and the quarterback's not playing well, and this is the guy that's telling me to pick up my towels, go die. versus establishing that trust at the beginning and showing that you're somebody who's worth following. It's not the right move.
I think it's fair. I like your take on that. Monty Toomer, former New York Giant on the Carton Show on FS1. That's their morning debate show on FS1. Yeah. He took it next level. Not a fan of Caleb's act at all.
He's Russell Wilson 2.0.
Uh-oh.
This is not going to go over well.
Uh-oh.
If you came in the locker room, I've been in this locker room for 8 years, like you said. And you know, some rookie's going to come in who hasn't played one snap.
Right.
Talking, you know, we're wearing the fingernail polish. You know, now he's going to come in here and tell me, who've been here, who've been through the struggle, that I need to clean up? No, how about rookie? How about you clean up after me?
Right.
How about that? Don't give me this crap. I don't like it at all. I feel like rookies should earn their respect.
Sure.
Just because you got drafted number one doesn't mean nothing to me because I don't even know if you're good.
Yeah. I'm somewhere in between those two players. If I put myself on the Bears, I'm going to be like, yeah, look, this is the future. This is the guy that needs to be good. And I'm going to like, all right, cool. I would interpret it in the best possible light as an outside observer. I think this sounds a lot like a guy who's trying real hard to be a leader and maybe read some articles on it, but doesn't necessarily understand or grasp what it is to be a leader.
Yeah.
Like you're not the leader of that team yet.
Right.
Like you have to earn that before you're the genuine leader. And you can do things on the football side of things. And it's a good message. I'm not arguing with his message, but that's one that's just, it's not leading if you have a good message, but nobody's really following. I'm skeptical.
I will say this. As somebody, this is in defense of Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
As somebody, and you do the same thing I do every day, Seth, you know, we work in a shared workspace with other coworkers. Yeah. I can kind of empathize with the whole, hey guys, keep it clean thing, man. There's a lot of radio coworker slobs out there.
So if they hire, like if they, let's say there's a new midday host that comes in.
Yeah.
And this third day he's here, he gathers us all up and gives us that speech. You feel like he's the guy to deliver that message?
I don't know,
or should it have been Sean T. Pendergast?
Should it have been me? Should I be a little more vocal about the coffee rings on the table or the crumb grenade that seems to go off underneath my chair at random times on other shows?
I feel like you get more of the brunt of it, the poor hygiene. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do the dishes in the morning.
No, you're at the other end of the spectrum, dude. You're a
butt kisser. I like the butt. The boss notices every now and then when I send her an email telling her that I've been doing it.
Well, we get the emails from her like, hey, guys, these are community mugs. Could we... We don't hire a dishwasher.
Coffee mugs. She sends out an email that, hey, it's not hard, everybody, put your coffee mug in the dishwasher.
Yes.
And then you go out there 12 hours later and there's three coffee mugs in the sink.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell raised these people.
How about sanitizer literally in the microphone guy? Ted Johnson.
Oh. Well, he was trying to be clean. He just didn't understand the way technology works.
Right.
You know,
Ted would put sanitizer lit, and for those watching on YouTube, this is back before we had these foam things on the microphone.
Yeah.
He would put it directly onto the microphone, which has a lot of little nooks and crannies that can absorb sanitizer into it.
It's
broken microphones.
It's why our studio is now the cave that it is, because as the microphones were slowly degrading with people using sanitizer on various microphones in there, they thought there were just too many hard surfaces in that studio for my loud voice, and that's why everything sounded echoey.
Yeah.
So we moved across the hall to a dungeon instead of having a nice view of the stadium and the medical center and Westview and Bel Air. Now we just stare at each other in darkness.
Yes.
And yeah. Like cave people.
It's very uplifting.
Yeah.
I know one of the bad coworkers that they were talking about on the Bull this morning is fridge thief guy. Like people eat or drink stuff that doesn't belong to them. They did on Thursday last week. I guess Topgolf came up here. I guess Topgolf has wings now. And so they delivered a bunch of wings, like a bunch of little containers with wings in it to the Bull in the afternoon. And so they were saving some of them in the fridge so that the morning show for their station could eat them. But apparently lots of them got eaten in between the time they got delivered on Thursday afternoon and when they got here Friday morning.
That's a tough one because we usually have a lot of, after sales meetings, there's usually leftover food. So people see food.
Yeah.
If you're seeing food and that event isn't going on, I gotta excuse whoever ate those wings.
Yeah,
I
mean,
they just thought it was a leftover from a sales event.
Whoever ate them. Yeah. Wasn't me. Wasn't me. I was the night of the game.
Like
No, it wasn't. I bring my own food up. That was the night. I was up here that night. I saw those wings. I also saw them being eaten, but it wasn't by me. I'm not going to say
really?
Who it was. Yeah. It was multiple people. It wasn't just one person. It wasn't one person.
For me.
It wasn't.
I've been on 1,200 calories a day for a month now.
Have you really?
Yeah.
How's it going?
I have like one. Until I start to feel like I'm going to pass out, then I'll have a normal day of eating, and then I go back to like a 1,200 to 1,800 calories.
I feel like if I was on a 1,200 calorie a day thing, which I've been on before under previous weight loss regimes, but I feel like if I was voluntarily on one, it's like the old Wheel of Fortune where you win a certain amount of money and now you go shopping. You're like, all right. Do I blow my whole wad here on that entertainment center right there?
Yeah.
Like, is it kind of like that? Are you like, okay.
No, you know what happened is I don't weigh myself anymore. I take my blood pressure in the morning.
Okay.
And that's my biggest. So the thing is, if I am going to eat more in a day, I'm still staying the hell away from salty foods, which tend to be my salty and sweet foods and like things that'll bloat me right up.
Yeah.
So because my blood pressure rises immediately. So that's the kind of I just take my blood pressure every day and I remind myself that it rises. My threat of a stroke goes up exponentially, and it's been incredibly effective. I see salty food or junk food and I'm like, it's gonna give me a stroke.
No. Are you ready for the press box this year?
I think so. Okay. I think I am. I've already been in some situations. I went out with Landry the other day for like 4 hours and drank nothing but light beer the whole time. That was my whole,
Look at you.
There were wings around and chips and everything else.
You look good, man. It's working.
You're
at your lightest weight since I've known you right now, I think.
I'm at my lightest weight since the last time I passed out at the doctor's office. I went through that barrier. I was 259 at that point. Severely depleted, and he started to explain my hernia surgery to me, and I passed out, and then I passed out three more times as they tried to revive me. So I'm like, I'm 254 now, and I haven't passed out once. So I'm doing it right.
You're doing it the right way. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Hope you guys had a great weekend. We'll get more Andre Johnson in from his Hall of Fame speech between now and the end of the show. Andre Johnson has done the rounds, though, the last few days. He was on the NFL Network, and he was talking about C.J. Stroud. Man, when you hear the GOAT talking about C.J., it gets me fired up. And what's the one big thing that C.J. Stroud is working on this offseason that has nothing to do with football? We've got that for you coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, we know a little something here in Houston about rookie quarterbacks coming in and trying to establish themselves as leaders of the football team. C.J. Stroud did a phenomenal job of that last year. He kind of just let it come to him, you know, got acclimated to his new teammates, showed some leadership traits on and off of the field, and by week one of the regular season, guys were following him, man. C.J. Stroud just has that gene. Caleb Williams is trying to do the same thing in Chicago. Right now, the reports out of Chicago have largely been really good on Caleb Williams so far. We'll see what happens when he gets on the field and plays. He didn't play against the Texans in the Hall of Fame game, obviously. Here's Kevin Byard, former safety for the Titans and the Eagles. He's now a Chicago Bear. He was on with 670 The Score up in the morning show on our sister station in Chicago, live from Bears camp, and he told this anecdote about Caleb Williams showing his leadership traits.
Well, I'll give you a great example. This was literally just yesterday, last night, we did our walkthrough. And we finished the walkthrough, and, you know, Coach, he's talked, and, you know, players usually break down. Usually a veteran breaks it down. And Caleb wanted to jump into the middle to break it down. And usually, like, you know, as a rookie, he's like, oh, what does this guy got to say?
Right.
But no, he honestly, which is like, hey, first thing he says, he's like, hey, man, we're all grown men here, right? You know, as we're going through training camp, and we all use the hot tub, we all use the cold tub, we all use the bathroom and all the areas. He was like, hey, man, like, we're getting a little too sloppy. You know what I'm saying? We're leaving water bottles and towels and all type of things around, man. Like, these custodians have a lot that they have to, a lot of square footage they have to cover around this whole building. Let's try to help them out by cleaning up after ourselves. And that's just little things, man, because I just think that when you want to be a great player, you always focus on the little details. You know what I mean? Not even just the details of the play, but the details of everything around you, you know?
All right, so Seth, I wanted to get your take on this, obviously, before we play another former player's take here that we'll get to from FS1. And again, this is Kevin Byard telling us what and how Caleb Williams said it, so okay. We'll point that out here. What are your thoughts on this?
All right, okay, so my thoughts is it's a very receptive audience that he's speaking to there, the Bears players. They really want Caleb Williams to be good, and I'm sure that they took it the way Byard did, is like, yeah, that's a good, upstanding young gentleman. This is the right kind of guy. I would say that like the way CJ approached it, the way, remember when I did the little, the panning panel for Texans Children's Hospital when we talked to Peyton Manning and Eli Manning?
Yes.
One of the things that Peyton had said about when he went to the Broncos was that he didn't think he was going to step right in and be a leader. Mind you, he was already a Hall of Fame quarterback, future right. Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't think Peyton Manning would have done that. I think that there's part of becoming a leader that's first, like, putting all those deposits in the trust bank. It's doing all those things to get you to that level to where you know your teammates and where they've seen some good stuff from you on the football field, all of that. That stepping right in and being the nagging roommate, I don't know if that's the right move, man. I don't know if that's an indication of like natural leadership skills. That sounds like somebody that might be a little overbearing at first, and yet I don't think the Bears teammates probably see it that way.
Maybe because
it's early. It's early.
Yep. Okay.
But I don't know if that survives adversity is what I'm saying.
Yes.
I don't know if you're 0-4 and the quarterback's not playing well and this is the guy that's telling me to pick up my towels, go die. versus establishing that trust at the beginning and showing that you're somebody who's worth following. It's not the right move.
I think it's fair. I like your take on that. Monty Toomer, former New York Giant, on the Carton Show on FS1. That's their morning debate show on FS1.
Yeah.
He took it next level. Not a fan of Caleb's act at all.
He's Russell Wilson 2.0.
Uh-oh.
This is not going to go over well.
Uh-oh.
If you came in the locker room, I've been in this locker room for 8 years, like you said. And you know, some rookie's going to come in who hasn't played one snap.
Right.
Talking, you know, we're wearing the fingernail polish. You know, now he's going to come in here and tell me, who've been here, who've been through the struggle, that I need to clean up? No, how about rookie? How about you clean up after me?
Right.
How about that? Don't give me this crap. I don't like it at all. I feel like rookies should earn their respect.
Sure.
Just because you got drafted number one doesn't mean nothing to me because I don't even know if you're good.
Yeah. I'm somewhere in between those two players. If I put myself on the Bears, I'm going to be like, yeah, look, this is the future. This is the guy that needs to be good. And I'm going to like, all right, cool. I would interpret it in the best possible light as an outside observer. I think this sounds a lot like a guy who's trying real hard to be a leader and maybe read some articles on it, but doesn't necessarily understand or grasp what it is to be a leader.
Yeah.
Like you're not the leader of that team yet.
Right.
Like you have to earn that before you're the genuine leader. And you can do things on the football side of things. And it's a good message. I'm not arguing with his message, but that's one that's just, it's not leading if you have a good message, but nobody's really following. I'm skeptical.
I will say this. As somebody, this is in defense of Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
As somebody, and you do the same thing I do every day, Seth, you know, we work in a shared workspace with other coworkers. Yeah. I can kind of empathize with the whole, hey guys, keep it clean thing, man. There's a lot of radio coworker slobs out there.
So if they hire, like if they, let's say there's a new midday host that comes in.
Yeah.
And this third day he's here, he gathers us all up and gives us that speech. You feel like he's the guy to deliver that message?
I don't know,
Should it have been Sean T. Pendergast?
Should it have been me? Should I be a little more vocal about the coffee rings on the table or the crumb grenade that seems to go off underneath my chair at random times on other shows?
I feel like you get more of the brunt of it, the poor hygiene. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do the dishes in the morning.
No, you're at the other end of the spectrum, dude. You're a
butt kisser. I like the butt. The boss notices every now and then I send her an email telling her that I've been doing it.
Well, we get the emails from her like, hey, guys, these are community mugs. Could we... you know, we don't hire a dishwasher.
Coffee mugs. She sends out an email that, hey, it's not hard, everybody, put your coffee mug in the dishwasher.
Yes.
And then you go out there 12 hours later and there's three coffee mugs in the sink.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell raised these people.
How about sanitizer literally in the microphone guy? Ted Johnson.
Oh. Well, he was trying to be clean. He just didn't understand the way technology works.
Right.
You know,
Ted would put sanitizer lit, and for those watching on YouTube, this is back before we had these foam things on the microphone.
Yeah.
He would put it directly onto sanitizer directly onto the microphone, which has a lot of little nooks and crannies that can absorb sanitizer into it.
It's
broken
yeah,
microphones.
It's why our studio is now the cave that it is, because as the microphones were slowly degrading with people using sanitizer on various microphones in there, they thought there were just too many hard surfaces in that studio for my loud voice, and that's why everything sounded echoey.
Yeah.
So we moved across the hall to a dungeon instead of having a nice view of the stadium and the medical center and Westview and Bel Air. Now we just stare at each other in darkness.
Yes.
And yeah. Like cave people.
It's very uplifting.
Yeah.
I know one of the bad coworkers that they were talking about on the Bull this morning is fridge thief guy. Like people eat or drink stuff that doesn't belong to them. They did on Thursday last week. I guess Topgolf came up here. I guess Topgolf has wings now. And so they delivered a bunch of wings, like a bunch of little containers with wings in it to the Bull in the afternoon. And so they were saving some of them in the fridge so that the morning show for their station could eat them. But apparently lots of them got eaten in between the time they got delivered on Thursday afternoon and when they got here Friday morning.
That's a tough one because we usually have a lot of, after sales meetings, there's usually leftover food. So people see food.
Yeah.
If you're seeing food and the event isn't going on, I gotta excuse whoever ate those wings.
Yeah,
just thought it was a leftover from a sales event.
Whoever ate them, yeah, wasn't me. Wasn't me. It was the night of the game.
Like
No, it wasn't. I bring my own food up. That was the night I was up here that night. I saw those wings. I also saw them being eaten, but it wasn't by me. I'm not gonna say
really?
Who it was. Yeah. It was multiple people. It wasn't just one person. It wasn't one.
Safe for me.
It wasn't.
I've been on 1,200 calories a day for a month now.
Have you really?
Yeah.
How's it going?
I have like one. Until I start to feel like I'm going to pass out, then I'll have a normal day of eating, and then I go back to like a 1,200 to 1,800 calories.
I feel like if I was on a 1,200 calorie a day thing, which I've been on before under previous weight loss regimes, but I feel like if I was voluntarily on one, it's like the old Wheel of Fortune where you win a certain amount of money and now you go shopping. You're like, all right. Do I blow my whole wad here on that entertainment center right there?
Yeah.
Like, is it kind of like that? Are you like, okay?
No. You know what happened is I don't weigh myself anymore. I take my blood pressure in the morning.
Okay.
And that's my biggest. So the thing is, if I am going to eat more in a day, I'm still staying the hell away from salty foods, which tend to be my salty and sweet foods and like things that'll bloat me right up.
Yeah.
So because my blood pressure rises immediately. So that's the kind of I just take my blood pressure every day and I remind myself that it rises. My threat of a stroke goes up exponentially, and it's been incredibly effective. I see salty food or junk food and I'm like, it's gonna give me a stroke.
No. Are you ready for the press box this year?
I think so. Okay. I think I am. I've been through some pretty. I've already been in some situations. I went out with Landry the other day for like 4 hours and drank nothing but light beer the whole time. That was my whole,
Look at you.
Like there were wings around and chips and everything else.
You look good, man. It's working.
You're
at your lightest weight since I've known you right now, I think.
I'm at my lightest weight since the last time I passed out at the doctor's office. I went through that barrier. I was 259 at that point. Severely depleted, and he started to explain my hernia surgery to me, and I passed out, and then I passed out three more times as they tried to revive me. So I'm like, I'm 254 now, and I haven't passed out once. So I'm doing it right.
You're doing it the right way. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Hope you guys had a great weekend. We'll get more Andre Johnson in from his Hall of Fame speech between now and the end of the show. Andre Johnson has done the rounds, though, the last few days. He was on the NFL Network, and he was talking about C.J. Stroud. Man, when you hear the GOAT talking about C.J., it gets me fired up. And what's the one big thing that C.J. Stroud is working on this offseason that has nothing to do with football? We've got that for you coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.